It seems that everyone has a camera in their cell phone today. TV news programs ask viewers to send in pictures. YouTube has millions of videos. And if something funny or strange happens, well, it'll be recorded by someone. Just ask Kramer, Michael Richards. Bruce Hennis is an expert in crisis communications. He tells his clients to assume that everything is or will be out there for the public to view. In this first of a two-part interview with Bruce, he explains the difference between PR, public relations, and crisis communications. He'll give some advice about spinning the truth and why reporters have a different framework to work from than what we might expect. And then he'll tell us how people can spend $21 million on the state issue and get blown away 3-1 because they didn't understand the basics. Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show. All right, listeners, we're fortunate to be speaking with Bruce Hennis again. Bruce is probably the foremost crisis communication specialist, not only in the area, but in the country. And Bruce, let's just clear something up right away. What's the difference between crisis communications and just public relations?
Well, I always define public relations as educating some group of people over some period of time, Dan, to like you more, to buy more widgets, to buy more of your services. PR people basically are involved in educating, again, over some period of time. Our business is completely different. It's our job not so much to educate the public, it's our job to make your story better, to make your story shorter, or to just make your story go away. And the best stories are the ones I can't tell you because we just made those stories go away.
You know, there's so many things with the ubiquity of camera phones and the media and people out there blogging and Web 2.0. Odds are that the longer you're in business, something's going to happen that you really don't want out there in the public. And often, you're not the representative of the public opinion. Maybe they're calling your secretary or staff member or something. What's your approach to including your staff in your plan?
We tell our clients a couple of things. First of all, they have to really pay attention to what they do. That we're not spinmeisters. I mean, spinning is lying, and we're it's very important that our customers, our clients rather, be authentic in what they say and what they do. And we tell them that they really need to look at their operations, their relationship with their employees, their relationship with their customers, and say, are we running the kind of business that we want? Are we running? What should we worry about? Are we doing anything that might end up on the front page of the Plain Dealer in a negative manner? Because if you know about it and you don't do something to rectify it before the you know what hits the fan, don't come to us to spin you out of it. We can't do that. So you know, as you mentioned before in your preamble, you know, nowadays everybody has a camera in their pocket, you know, in their cell phone. A lot of people know how to use the video portion and actually take little mini movies of what's going on with just their cell phone. You've just got to assume that everything is 24/7, everything is transparent, and everything requires and how you conduct yourself is going to be out in the public view at all times.
So then you don't think there's a situation where maybe by not being 100% honest or kind of bending the truth a little, you can get away with it?
It certainly doesn't work for any of our clients. I mean, you know, again, we've had clients come to us and say, look, we did something wrong and we want you to make the story go away. But if they don't want to fess up to it and if they don't want to make sure that it never happens again, if that's just the way they do business, frankly, I don't want them as a client.
You know, you talk about the three V's in a situation. Tell us what the three V's are.
Well, the three V's is one of the frameworks that reporters use to tell stories. Just backing up a little bit, it's really not the job of reporters to spew out facts, to take your facts and put them into the newspaper or on television. It's the reporter's job to tell stories, and those stories have different frameworks. And one of the we see them all the time, hero stories and stories of redemption, stories of conflict, stories about a horse race, who's winning, who's losing. But the story framework that we often see in our practice is what we call the three V's, the villain, the victim, and the vindicator. And those are the characters that end up in the little play, if you will, that ends up on television or in the newspaper. The villain has done something bad to the victim, and the vindicator, who's usually a reporter, you know, is Carl Monday, is a politician, you know, kind of rides to the rescue. And the problem is, once that framework is locked in, when the facts don't fit the frame, people tend to discard the facts. So if, in other words, if you're a business owner, or a government official, or you're a property developer, and somebody points their finger at you, frankly, you're automatically presumed to be the villain unless you tell your story right away in that news cycle. Number one, you may not be the villain. Maybe someone pointing their finger at you absolutely doesn't know what they're talking about or has it out of context, and you haven't done anything wrong. But if you let a news cycle or two go by and that framework then gets locked in, again, when the facts don't fit the frame, people tend to discard the facts. The other problem is, of course, if you did do something, you know, maybe you are the villain, you know, and then we use something called the three F's, which is F up, fess up, and fix up. You know, what are you going to do? What did you do? What are you going to do about it? And how are you going to make sure it never happens again? The key here is to be real, to be truthful, and to be authentic. All right, if you're going to tell the public that you're sorry about something, you really have to be. I can't teach you, Dan, to be an actor. I can teach you how to be a performer and be a good communicator, but I cannot teach you how to be something that you're not. Quick example of this was State Issue 3, the gaming amendment. You remember that, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
They called it the gaming amendment.
Games are fun.
Games are fun. Harmless. That's right. You know, and right away you knew you were getting scammed a year ago.
Right.
You know, for State Issue 3. You know, what is gaming? Well, gaming is a phrase, is a word, if you will, that the industry came up with years ago, thinking that, you know, because they thought that gambling would be too, you know, it was too loaded, so they call it gaming. I don't think people are that easily snowed. You knew right away you were getting scammed. We talked to the people who were in favor of passing that amendment a year ago, and they said, I said to them, how can we help you? And they said, we want you to help us win this thing big. And we said, well, we don't think you're going to win. And they said, oh, how could that be? We've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on polling, and our polling shows that when we tell the voters of Ohio that a good portion of the profits of State Issue 3, the gaming amendment, are going to be used for tuition payments for their high school students, they vote yes on this. And we said, well, we beg to differ with you. We think that the other side came out 6 months before you, pointed their finger at you, and said, rich racetrack owners, and you're evil. That's all they had to say. You waited 6 months before you came out with your side of the story. And now every time you open your mouth, all you do, in our opinion, is reinforce their argument. Because, again, when the facts don't fit the frame, people tend to discard the facts.
That's a great example, because I was one of those who just, first of all, I knew we were being spun with the gaming gambling situation, and then all I could think of was these few individuals who are going to make tons of money in the state and just rip us off.
Exactly. And let's remember that for all that, they spent $21 million to get State Issue 3 passed. State Issue 3, more money than has ever been spent to pass any issue in the state of Ohio, in the history of Ohio. And the net result, they lost 3-1 because you and all of your friends heard their arguments and didn't believe any of them.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.